Heavenly Father, thank you for Chris. Thank you for the word that you have painstakingly put on his heart this week. That you have spoken to him about so diligently, so consistently, and that he has listened.
Yeah.
We bless him now as he brings that word to us. Would you give him the exact words that he needs to share? And would you give us soft hearts and listening ears to hear everything it is that you have to say to each of us this morning? We love you, and we're listening. Amen.
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 All right. Well, good morning, Christchurch family. Welcome. It's good to have you with us. And if we've never met before, then let me introduce myself. My name's Chris. I'm part of the staff team here at Christchurch. And it's great to be able to be with you this morning. I was just thinking about the fact that it's been a year. And I wasn't sure if there was talk of a video over the week that Mark might put up of our time in our first session we ever did a year ago, and just seeing that just reminded me of how I felt on that first live stream, and I was sat at the piano playing there, and I was so nervous. I had no idea what was happening, and I'm probably just as nervous this morning, but it's good to be with you, and we're about to start a little series of building towards Easter. It's only a few weeks away, and we're gonna be just spending our teaching time over the next few weeks doing that together, and so I'm gonna beginning that series with us this morning. So I wonder. Can you relate to that feeling of feeling really like heavily tired, you know, like deeply tired? Hey, yeah, Debs agrees. We got a few people agreed. Yeah, I wonder if you ever had one of those very dangerous moments when you're driving where you just get really tired and you know that you just need to not, you know, that feeling of just deep tiredness. I wonder if you've ever fallen asleep at an inappropriate moment. Anyone ever fallen asleep at an inappropriate moment? Yeah, we've got lots of hands in the room. Lovely. All right. I remember this one time in my life where I fell asleep at an inappropriate moment. I was leading on a youth camp, and, I was actually a Christchurch youth camp, and I was a leader as part of the leadership team, and I remember it because, and if you've ever led on one of these kinds of camps, the one thing you know about these camps is that you are very busy all the time, and it is generally an extremely exhausting experience, a fantastic experience, but also an exhausting experience. And I remember this particular evening, I was with my friend, and me and my friend were sharing a room together as leaders. And I remember this one evening, it was probably towards the end of the week, I remember sharing this room with my friend. I remember the evening came round, we'd finished the day, and we got back to our room. And as you do at the end of the day on these kinds of things, you start reflecting back on the day or what's happened in the week. And we just started chatting about the day. It was a really, really good conversation. And we got ready for bed. And I remember just getting into bed, and my friend got into his bed, and we were just chatting about the day. But then the conversation took a bit of a turn, and we no longer were talking about the day. We actually started to talk about the sort of more important things in my friend's life, some of the stuff that was going on in his life, the deeper things, you know. And to my defense, the week was tiring, right? It was really, really tiring. And it was towards the end of the week. To my defense, my bed at that point in the day was really comfortable. The room was warm. My pillows were fluffy. And you can tell what was going to happen. As my friend began to share some of the deeper, more personal things about his life, I promptly just fell asleep. And I heard very little about what happened. In the morning, I remember waking up and thinking, you know, get that memory at the back of your mind. Like, what happened at the end of the? Oh, my friend was telling me about his life, and I actually fell asleep. That's the only time that's ever happened, to my knowledge, in my life. And I apologize, and it was all fine. But you know, there are times in life where it's good to sleep. It's important to sleep. It's actually necessary that you sleep because it can be dangerous if you don't, like the driving thing. But there are other times where it's time to push through it. You know, it's time to push through your tiredness and stay awake because the situation demands it. It's time to push through. And our scripture today talks about one of those moments. Today, the title of my talk is Friendship, Failure, and Faithfulness. Friendship, Failure, and Faithfulness. So if you've got a Bible with you, I want you to turn to Matthew 26. Matthew 26, we're going to be reading from verse 36. We're going to be in a well-known part of the story as we build towards Easter, and we're going to find ourselves in Gethsemane. So I'm going to read to you, and then we're going to unpack a few different challenges for this morning. Let's read together Matthew 26 from verse 36. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. And then he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Going a little further, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." Then he returned to his disciples and he found them sleeping. "Couldn't you men keep watch with me for 1 hour?" he asked Peter. "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." He went away a second time and prayed, "My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done." When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more and prayed the third time, saying the same thing. Then he returned to his disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour has come and the Son of Man has delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer." So here we are. Jesus has brought his friends to this place called Gethsemane so that he can pray, is what verse 36 tells us. He tells his friends to sit down so that he can go a bit further into the place with his closest friends, Peter, James, and John. He takes those three in a little bit further. And the Bible tells us it's at this moment that Jesus begins to become, what does the Bible say, sorrowful and troubled. Other translations or even other gospel stories would talk about the idea that Jesus was greatly distressed. He began to be greatly distressed. I don't know about you. I find it a strange thing to think about Jesus being greatly distressed and troubled and sorrowful. It's a strange thing to think that he was like that. I also find it a really encouraging thing, a comforting thing to know that Jesus experienced these kind of emotional responses to the situations that he faced. Greatly distressed. And then verse 38 of our passage in Matthew, we get to this amazing moment where Jesus tells his friends exactly how he's feeling. Jesus tells his friends, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death." He tells them exactly how he's feeling, and he asks them to stay and keep watch. And it says, to keep watch with him, to with me, he says. Stay here and keep watch with me. What does Jesus mean when he asks them to keep watch with him? It's really easy to think about this idea of keeping watch as being just a physical reality. Jesus says, keep watch. And we often think, very naturally think of the fact that, and we know this, how the story is going to unfold, don't we? Because there are people coming to arrest Jesus. Stay here and keep watch, as in keep watch of everything that's going on externally over here. Keep watch and just make sure that the right people are here, no one's coming, whatever it is, just keep watch. It's really easy to look at it in that sense, just like a physical thing. I don't personally believe that when Jesus is telling his friends to stay, to pray and to keep watch, he's just talking about a physical external reality here. How do we know that this might be true? Well, Jesus asked his friends to stay and keep watch. What does he say? With me. Okay. And what was Jesus there to do? Jesus was there to pray. Stay here and keep watch with me. Jesus was there to pray. And I believe that a huge part of Jesus' request here is not just for them to keep watch over the external things that are going on, but also to keep watch over their hearts. And we'll discover more about that in a few minutes' time. Jesus vulnerably tells his friends exactly how he's feeling, and he tells them to keep watch. And what I believe here in these verses that we've just read, that in his most troublesome moment, in his moment of great distress and sorrow, that Jesus demonstrates to us as his friends and his believers, and to his friends at the time, he demonstrates his ability to keep watch over his heart, even in the most painful moment. And in their frailty, and in their weakness, and in their failure, his friends couldn't even manage to stay awake, let alone keep watch over anything. This was a moment where Peter, James, and John needed to push through because the situation demanded it. This was not the moment to fall asleep. Jesus' command to stay awake, to stay alert, to be at attention was so that they could be alert to what was coming against them, to keep watch and to pray. Don't you find it amazing that King Solomon in Proverbs, of all the things, right, the wisest man other than Jesus, that he writes in Proverbs 4, above all else, okay? King Solomon, he says, chapter 4 of Proverbs, above all else, guard your heart. For everything you do flows from it. Don't you find it incredible that this guy, he says, above everything else, above all else, guard your heart. For everything that you do flows from it. Challenge number one for this morning. Are we asleep on the job of our faith? Or are we watching and praying, taking care not just of the external realities, the things that are going on out there, but the things of our hearts? Are we staying alert to what's coming against us, not just from the outside, but are we keeping watch over our hearts? Because I believe that when Jesus said to his friends to keep watch, it wasn't just about the external, it was also about the internal. Challenge number one. You know, there's a reason that Jesus combines watchfulness and prayer in his request. Jesus' command for his friends to remain awake, to watch and pray, was also what, when he comes back to them the first time, what does he say? Couldn't you men keep watch with me just for 1 hour? And poor old Peter gets singled out here. He says to Peter, and then he says, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. For the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. We know that Jesus is not just talking about a physical watch, like keep watch, because he tells them, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. What does Jesus mean here? Like, what's he talking about? There's a few things we could talk about here, but I want to focus on one thing. And for the answer, we need to look back a few verses to that moment where Jesus says to his friends, and it's Matthew 26, you can find it in verse 31. Jesus tells them, his friends, this very night, you will all fall away on account of me. This is what Jesus tells his friends. This very night, all of you, every single one of you, you're going to fall away because of me. And then they get this, you know, you get this famous moment. Lots of us will know this moment well. Peter pipes up here and he says, verse 33, well, even if everyone falls away on account of you, I never will. I never will. Jesus then says, okay, truly I tell you, this very night before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. Peter declares, even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you. And all the other disciples kind of agreed too. They all said the same. This is what Jesus is talking about here when he says, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. You see, in his own strength, Peter is absolutely sure, isn't he? I never will. In his own strength, Peter is certain. I never will. In his own strength, Peter declares an absolute. I never will. And maybe you can relate to Peter's certainty. Maybe you could relate to that this morning. Maybe you can relate to that moment in your own life where you did something, you made a mistake, you failed, you did whatever it was, and you said straight afterwards, I'll never do that again. Maybe you can relate to that. I never will. And then, you know, a few minutes later or the next day or the next week, the same thing happens. And you're like, I'll never do that again. I never will. In his own strength, I never will. Yet moments later, and we are talking moments later in Gethsemane, we're not talking about the rooster crowing now. We're talking about the fact that his friends, and Peter's one of them here, they couldn't pay attention enough to the words of Jesus and push through with him and stay awake in the moment that Jesus asked them to. In their own strength, they couldn't do it. What they needed to do was to push through their human tiredness, not just to live in their own strength, but to hear the words of Jesus to them right at the beginning and put them into practice. Jesus says, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. Stay here and keep watch with me. That's the key, right? Keeping watch is to remain alert, to stay awake. Not just to the external things, but to the internal things. Our flesh is weak. Debs was talking about that just as she was leading worship. She said, "We're not. What did you say? We're not supposed to be self-sufficient. Is that yeah? We're not supposed to be self-sufficient. We're not designed to do it all on our own. We're not supposed to be able to declare those absolutes. I never will in our own strength. We're designed to be dependent on the Holy Spirit. We're designed to be led by him. We're designed to do it in partnership with him. That's what Jesus demonstrated the whole of the 33-ish years that he lived on planet Earth. It was all in relationship with the Father, all on dependency with the Holy Spirit. That's what we were designed to do. And in this moment, Peter just declares, I'll never disown you. And we know later on in the story, that's exactly what happens. But even in this moment, a few moments later in Gethsemane, he can't even take hold of the words of Jesus to stay and to keep watch with him. The invitation was to be with him. The invitation was to do it with him. Stay and keep watch with me. So challenge number one was, are we asleep on the job of our faith? Are we keeping watch? Are we praying not just over the external, but also the internal? Because I believe that's what Jesus was talking about when he was talking about keeping watch. It wasn't just about those things out there. Challenge number two is, are we living life in our own strength or are we doing it with him? Are we learning to be more dependent on his leadership and the guidance of the Holy Spirit in our lives? Are we doing it in partnership? Because that was the invitation to his friends in this moment. So listen, you might have fallen asleep in your faith. You might be someone today and you've just fallen asleep. You've nodded off. You've been asleep for a while. You might have be someone who's watching this morning or on catch up later. You might be someone who's just left Jesus' words behind. You heard his words, but you weren't able to put them into practice. Maybe you're someone this morning who's fallen into temptation. You might have forgotten to keep watch over your heart and you've been really interested in all the stuff that's going on out there and creating a life that looks really good out there, but you forgot to keep watch over your heart. You might have forgotten to be living in dependence with him and you might be trying to live life all in your own strength. You might be doing all of those things this morning. You might find yourself in all of those camps. But hear me now. Listen to me now. Jesus keeps coming back towards you. Because what happens in this story is, I think, quite remarkable. You see, in the moment of his greatest trouble, in his moment of great distress, in his sorrowful moment that Jesus is experiencing here, what does he do? He keeps coming back to check on his friends. He keeps coming back. You see, Jesus hasn't fallen asleep. Jesus, we know this earlier on in the story, Jesus never fell to temptation. Jesus continues to take care and keep watch over his own heart. I believe this passage tells us this, as well as many others. Jesus lived his life in full dependence on the Father and the Holy Spirit. Jesus is faithful. I'm amazed at the songs we sung earlier. It's all about God's faithfulness. Jesus is faithful. Hear this morning. Jesus is faithful to you, even in your sleepiness, even in your failures, even in your weakness, even if you fall into temptation, even if you've been living life in your own strength, Jesus is faithful to you this morning. Jesus is faithful to you because he keeps coming back. He won't ever leave you or forsake you. Incredible. Three times in this story, Jesus came back. Three times. Back up to the story with Peter for a moment where he says, I never will disown you, Jesus. How many times did Jesus say that Peter would disown him? Three times. Three times. How many times did Jesus come back to see his friends in the midst of his hardest moment? Three times. How many times did they fail in this moment? Three. You see, Jesus in this moment, of all the failures of his friends, he sees their failure. They fall asleep, whatever it is. Peter disowns him three times, but whatever it is, three things. He sees their failure and he matches it and overcomes it with three moments of faithfulness because he comes back three times. Do you know what blows me away? The second time he comes back in Matthew's version, the second time it says he found them sleeping because their eyes were so heavy. So he left them and went away and he kept praying. Let them sleep. Jesus sees their failure and he matches it and overcomes it with his faithfulness. Jesus is faithful to you this morning. He is faithful. Three times failed was counted by three times faithful. And this is so much the heart of the gospel, isn't it? Isn't this so much the heart of the gospel right here? That these human, these weak, fleshy, in their own strength, failing people that we can all relate to on some level, right? These people who couldn't do it in their own strength and they tried, but they couldn't. And the heart of the gospel is that Jesus keeps coming back. He keeps coming back. His faithfulness lasts a lifetime. And that he's faithful to you this morning, and that we believe as we build towards Easter that the work of Jesus at this time and in this moment in history was enough. That as he died and that he was raised back to life, that it covered all of your sin, all of your stuff, all of your failure, all of your weakness, all of your decisions, all of the times where you weren't faithful to him. It covers all of it. It was enough and it was powerful. And some of us may have lost sight of that this morning because you're living in your own head or your own heart. You're not keeping watch over it. You're doing life in your own strength. Maybe you failed a bunch of times. Even this morning you did. Maybe you fell to temptation this week. I don't know what it is, but the work of Jesus at this time in this story, in the moment of history, was enough to cover over that, to present you before God pure and righteous. Something that you could never have done yourself. And that he invites you into relationship with him. And so whether you're sleepy this morning, literally or spiritually, whether you're failing in life, or you feel like stuff's going wrong all over the place, whether you're just doing it all in your own strength and you just lost your dependency on him, whatever it is, hear his faithfulness this morning. Not only that, and challenge number three, are you confident in the power of his grace and his faithfulness in your life? Are you confident that what he did in this moment in history as he died and rose again was enough? Are you confident that when all that stuff is going on, that he can overtake and overcome your stuff with the reality of his? You know, that second time where Jesus comes back and he leaves them sleeping, I don't know why I'm struck by that, but I just got caught up in that a little bit. It really struck me as I read it. In Luke's version of this story, he says that the disciples had very heavy eyes because they were exhausted by sorrow. That's what Luke says. Exhausted by sorrow. Maybe this was a moment where Jesus came back. He sees them sleeping, and Matthew says, because their eyes were heavy. Maybe this was a moment where Jesus comes back and he realizes what they're facing in that moment. He realizes what they're feeling. He realizes like what's going on for them. And he just goes back. He leaves them to it for a minute and goes back and prays and then comes back a third time and wakes them up. Because maybe in that moment, that even though Jesus' need for his friends to keep watch with him was greater than their need to sleep, that he put them above himself in that moment. Maybe. Again, like the heartbeat of the gospel running right through this moment. And so I want to remind you this morning of that heartbeat. That even in the middle of all the stuff that's going on in your life, failure, weakness, lack of faithfulness, temptation, sleepiness, what all the stuff we talked about this morning, in the middle of all of that, be reminded this morning of the heartbeat of the gospel. Be reminded this morning of the power of his grace and his faithfulness, that it was never about what you could do. It was never about whether you could overcome that stuff. It was about believing and putting your faith and being confident in the rescue plan that God put out. That Jesus was enough and that what his work accomplished was sufficient for you. That's what we're believing this morning. And so I want to finish there because I want to just take some moments together to be able to pray. Challenge number one. Are you asleep in your faith right now? Or are you keeping watch and are you praying? Not just over what's going on out there on the external, but also over your hearts, because I believe that's part of what Jesus was saying here to his friends. Number two, challenge number two. Are you living life all in your own strength or are you doing it with him? Are you learning to become more dependent on him, to live life in partnership with him? Is that going on for you right now? And challenge number three, are you confident this morning? Are you confident in the power of the work of Jesus on the cross in death and resurrection, for him to overcome your failure and your weakness and all the stuff that's going on right now? Do you believe that it was never about your ability to do it, but it was all about putting your faith in his ability to change your life? Three challenges. And I don't know where you are this morning in any of those, obviously. I can't see you. But we want to take some time to pray. And so I want to ask Debs and Isaac just to jump back up. I want to spend some time praying. Is that okay, Hannah? Yeah.